Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Let's bring in Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune. Donnie, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
Doing great. It's great to hear your voice, by the way.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been too long, as far as I'm concerned. General impressions. This April's always interesting between spring football, the blue-white scrimmage, and now with the transfer portal, which came to a close on Sunday. You may get a trickle out because of the 48-hour thing maybe today, but what's just your general thought of where the program is?
I think they're in great shape. I think anybody would and should say that. I thought the blue-white game, one thing that really interested me is I thought, you know, not only was it a legitimate game format, but I think it was a legitimate game for a guy like Drew Aller to go out there and have to face some of those defensive schemes that he saw. They came after him, and a pretty good offensive line had some issues with some defensive ends who had a good game and a coming out party. And that's a position of strength for Penn State, and I think that's going to be good for Aller, because I mean, you could argue that how many defenses is he going to see this year that are as good as the one he saw in the blue-white game? Probably not too many. I mean, maybe five or six, but it's going to be fun to see him progress this year. And I think, you know, Penn State's got a lot of depth now on certain positions on defense. Certainly they need to improve in some areas, but that's every team this time of year. So I think this coming out of the blue-white game, they know now what they need to fix. And, you know, look, I mean, are they going to be able to do it through the transfer portal? Are they going to have to develop those guys this summer? Probably a little bit of both. Probably more develop those guys that they have on the roster. But I think in the blue-white game, we saw some guys who didn't get too many people talking about them. You know, Denai Dennis Sutton, Zariah Fisher, I thought, you know, both those guys played very well. And I think moving forward that, there's enough hope with those young guys to think that with what Penn State has, they could be pretty good in the fall.
Now the portal there, James Franklin and his staff have done really an outstanding job over the years of filling what they perceive to be as maybe a gap here or there. What are those potential one or two gaps that could help them out in the portal?
Yeah, I think they've been as good as anybody in the portal, really. I mean, outside of just going and getting everybody that you could find and being, you know, a program that is going to just, you know, build teams for the portal. They're not going to do that. But you know, I think if you're looking at positions, you know, James mentioned defensive tackle. You can go find a couple of guys there and help build that rotation there. But the receiver is another spot that he's mentioned going out and getting. That's a tough one for me because I think you have so many guys on your roster, and I think some of them could play, and some of them, you know, what Amari Evans did in the blue-white game didn't surprise me. You know, they really talked highly of him, and Taylor Stubblefield, when he was the receivers coach last year, I asked him about Evans, and he basically said, you know, it's just going to take him a little bit of time. He was a high school quarterback. Everybody knows kind of the backstory there, but I think he came out and played well. But I thought Saunders played well too, and that was important.
Yeah, so, I agree.
The James kind of mentioning receiver, I think that I don't want to say that's a luxury at this point because he knows he sees him every day. But I think that they can get by with what they've got at receiver. I think whenever you can get better in the trenches, you get better in the trenches. So get some defensive linemen if you can. Maybe an offensive lineman if the right guy is there. And that's kind of the guys they've been offering. But not many people ever mention special teams. I'd see what I can get there as a, you know, as far as kickers. I don't know about the punting situation. I think Thompson, he evidently had a 62-yarder in the blue-white game. I don't remember it, but that doesn't surprise me that I don't remember a punt from a game. But I think they're going to have to get better on special teams. That's one thing we learned out of the blue-white game too. So maybe they hit that in the portal. But really, right now, I would think, you know, get better in the trenches if you can, and I think they'll do that and see what they could hit from there.
The what's interesting is the college football playoff announced today the dates and what they're doing. They announced today that, you know, that once they get to the 24 season, first round games will be at campus sites on Friday, December 20th, one game, and then three games on Saturday, the 21st. The quarterfinals, the Fiesta Bowl, will be on the 31st and 24. Then New Year's Day, it'll be the Peach Bowl, Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl. Semifinals will be the Orange and Cotton on the 9th on a Thursday. And Monday night, the 20th in Atlanta, is the championship game. Then in 25, it's Friday the 19th, Saturday the 20th. Quarterfinals will be Wednesday the 31st at the Cotton Bowl, Thursday the 1st, Orange, Rose, Sugar. Semifinals on the 8th, Fiesta Bowl, Peach Bowl, because they're going to keep that rotation. And then the 20th of January in Miami will be the championship game. Now we're going to see the college football season end on January 20th.
Yeah. It's late. it's almost as long as a college or as a NFL season. If you want to, you're really pushing the conference championship games. Really, by the time you're wrapping up, it's a long season. And I mean, I get it. It's a long season for what, four teams, realistically. So it's a shorter season, I guess, for most of the teams. You know, if depending on what the rest of the bowl structure is going to look like, and four of the 12 teams are going to be eliminated that first weekend.
Right.
So I mean, I'm sure their season ends that way, but yeah, it's going to be a long football season. And the other thing I find interesting is you're playing how many of your games there? Six of your biggest games of the year aren't on Saturdays, and most of them are midweek.
And again,
I want to see how that plays out.
And again, that's the NFL. The NFL has forced them to do this.
Yeah, and the other side of that coin is, I sit here complaining that they don't have a lot of college football games on Saturdays, but that first weekend where you're playing those three games, the early afternoon, late afternoon, and primetime game in the first round, that's going to go up against NFL games.
Yes.
So it's going to be very fun to see how those ratings go.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting, too, because what I find interesting is that, look, the NFL acts like they don't need anybody. And maybe in reality they don't, but I think they do need college football. And the reason they need it is Bryce Young's already, quote, an established star coming into the league. The NFL doesn't have to mold him into a star. College football does that for them.
Yeah, correct. I mean, look at last weekend. Look at the draft. I mean, it's the best minor league system in the world, and it's not really even a minor league system. You look at it, and people are tuning in from Thursday night until Saturday, late Saturday afternoon for the draft to see these guys get picked, and they know most of them. They do scouting reports on them. They watch the combine to see these guys. Fans don't get enough football, and I think the lines for fans are blurred between college and the professional ranks. And they're going to continue to get even blurrier for obvious reasons. But really, yeah, this is, you know, Bryce Young last year was playing most of the year for Alabama, but you know, how many NFL teams wanted him? I mean, how many NFL fans are thinking that guy could change our fortunes? And you know, and that is part of the lure of college football now, that's somebody who you heard, you know, the tank for Tua stuff a couple of years ago. As ridiculous as that is, that's a lot of the reason why NFL fans are watching college football now is how could these guys help me?
On the world-famous speaking tour, the stop this weekend was in South Carolina. Two-thirds of my questions from the audience dealt with either the transfer portal or more with NIL.
Mm-hmm.
Donnie, what kind of feel do you have for NIL?
It's a great question. I do a podcast every week now, and I have people come every week to a certain degree. We talk about NIL, and every week I mention the same thing. I don't know anything. I know what it's about. I know what it is. I know the impact it's going to have, and I guess that's a lot. when you see what kids are getting now, what they're expecting. But you know, once you learn something about NIL, it changes 3 weeks later. So it's very difficult to kind of get the grasp on it. And I think it's difficult for fans, which is why you get a lot of questions about it. You know, yeah, hey, how is, you know, I get every once in a while, yeah, what are they paying Drew Aller this year? I don't know. I know that Drew Aller can go and make a nice living being Drew Aller if he can, but I think there's a lot of misconceptions about what it is, and there's a lot of misconceptions about what it's going to be, but it's going to change everything, and it already has, obviously, and that's why James is, you know, 90% of what he does now is pound the table for what this means for his program.
Yeah, no, and people are asking because they want to know, and I know that Penn State has been as high as third in endowed scholarships. And I said I don't know. Maybe you need to shift over to NIL because of the current. And look, you and I both know. Everybody thinks everybody's making a lot of money. A few guys are. Most of the guys are like, oh, great, I get to go over to the local restaurant and they're going to give me a little bit of money to sit there and sign autographs. I'll go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what most of it is.
Yeah, it's NIL to me, you know, it's not, you know, the star basketball. What's her name at LSU who got the Mercedes deal over the weekend? It's Don DeLuca gets to go to Garrity's and sell some pasta sauce.
Yeah.
And that's really what it is. And last year in Scranton, they had over the summer, and I think this is a really good example of what NIL could be. You know, Sean Clifford and his, with Limitless and those guys, he had a whole group of Penn State players come up. Jair Brown was there, DeLuca, Curtis Jacobs was there, Parker. But they did a big camp. Hundreds of kids showed up, and it was free, and they did this big camp for everybody. It was a really positive experience, and a lot of those guys are in the NFL now. You know, Parker's in the NFL. Cliff with the Packers, and it was just this great event, and I was there. My kids went to it, and I thought, you know, this is something they would not have been able to do 5 years ago.
Right.
And
right.
It,
and they do that.
It does enable kids to when you think about it, like Sean Clifford couldn't run a camp because it was against the rules.
Right. And now they can do that. And if Old Forge Pizza wants to bring some guys up, they're like, hey, great, I'll go.
It is funny because there's still some rules that I didn't – you learn something new about it every day, because I was talking earlier with Mike Rossigno from the Scranton chapter, and you know, Mike, you're going to be up for the dinner, I guess, in June. But
yes,
I said, because they were looking for speakers, and I said, why don't you just pay one of the players? And they still can't pay the players. That's
right.
Still
they can't
the
do
rules
it.
For them.
It's against the rules. They can't do it.
Yeah, so I don't know who could pay what and why, and I think they just change every week. So there's some really good things about it, is what I know, and it's great for the players, but the rules to me are still very confusing.
Yeah, so that means you're stuck with Mike Rhodes and me. So that's what it ends up being on June the 8th.
Right. Well, we're looking forward to it, but it's always a fun dinner. But I've never met Mike Rhodes, obviously. So
you'll like him, Donnie. He's an impressive guy. He's just a good down to earth guy. You'll like him a lot. He's our kind of guy.
Yeah, I've heard too that he was an outstanding Division III basketball player. The people at the University of Scranton say they've seen him and they remember him as almost legendary at that level.
Yeah, and with Lebanon Valley with Pat Flannery as the coach. And was it to be the Scranton Royals?
Yes.
Ah, the University of Scranton Royals.
Yeah, I remember Jimmy Martelli played there for 2 years.
Yeah, Mike, 2 years up there. They were like the big deal all the time. Everybody talked about it. In fact, I'm going to be up in the old Lehman campus on Friday, as a matter of fact. So. Looking forward to it. Yeah. No, it's commencement weekend, and my buddy Rick Berry is giving the commencement speech, so they wanted to do something. So I said, okay, cool, I'll go. What the heck? No games this weekend. I'm good.
Yeah.
And I'm free for podcasts. And I'm free for podcasts too, Donnie. So we're all good. All right. Donnie, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve.